Hey guys, and welcome to the first episode of Black Geek Radio. And today we're doing What's Up Wednesday. We have a large array of topics to discuss with you guys, but let me introduce you to our co-hosts, Valente, Michelle, and Joseph.
Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
So let's just dive right into the topics about space and all the new discoveries that are happening there now. So, are you guys excited about the new moon that they've just discovered?
It doesn't really say they discovered it. They might discover it.
Confirmed it.
So what does this mean? Is there more than one moon that's shining in the sky at night?
Is that a serious question?
It's just an interesting thing, Valente. And it might also
But there has to be more to it.
I mean,
you discovered a new moon, but that's it. Oh, we discovered a new moon. Let's go to sleep now. Like, no, there has to be more to it.
I think the premises behind it is that if such a large moon actually exists, it means that it would change the very foundation of how moons form.
Interesting.
Basically, they think that the current moon that we have formed when a Mars-side object collided with Earth. So there's no way that could happen with a planet the size of Jupiter unless the sun exploded or something. So that's why they're freaking out about it, because it would shake the very foundations of what we think moons form.
So do you guys think that there is life on other planets?
I mean, I don't think this is like specifically pointing to that, but I think what it's saying is that maybe we don't know everything. There's still so much that we don't know about the universe. Like there's different systems with like 2 to 3 stars that orbit them. There's black holes at the center of our galaxy. It's just we're discovering things every day that we don't even know that exist.
I always wonder where do those black holes lead? Like if an astronaut was to take his ship and go through one of those black holes, what would happen?
Well, hypothetically, I guess it would lead to a white hole.
It also depends on what theory that you're going on.
I mean, if you went through a black hole, you wouldn't even know you were going through it, because the gravity is so dense that light can't escape it. So you would be seeing the entire universe behind you, but in front of you. So you wouldn't even know that you were going through one.
Because there's
hypothetically it had another side of it that spit everything out, then you would see the exact opposite. So assuming you could survive the experience, you'd probably be traumatized.
That at the end of one black hole is the beginning of another universe, which I also find.
So do you guys think that time just stops in those black holes? Like time stands still?
Time is relative. So you could argue that the more intense the gravity is, time is accelerating. So like the movie Interstellar, where they go around the black hole in the planet orbit, and they're there for just a couple minutes, but 2 years goes by, then 80 years and so forth. They're just when you get near a gravitational pull like that, time just seems to distort.
All right, so the total solar eclipse that's supposed to happen in August, are you gonna see it? Do you want to see it?
Well, if I understand correctly, a total solar eclipse, you can't see. Like, you have to catch, like, the second after, the second before, because the moment that it hits it, it's just, it's like, you're not really seeing what's there. You're just seeing, like, the radiation, so to speak. So you can only capture, like the last couple seconds of it, right before it happens.
I'm excited for it, but it's like, I'm excited for it, but I'm not. Due to the simple fact that I read an article saying that you have to be in a specific city to catch the solar eclipse. And you have unfortunately, to be in the state that I'm in isn't one of those states. So it's kind of disappointing, because I actually really wanted to see the solar eclipse. I think the last time I saw one, if I can recall, I was a kid, and it was weird. It was the middle of the day, but it was dark. And back then, I didn't understand it like I do now, the whole solar eclipse thing. So that's one of the reasons why I want to see it now.
Oh, the question then becomes, are you going to leave your state to go see the solar eclipse? Because I'm sure it's big business to travel for an eclipse.
Well, I think it's supposed to be like in another country, like on the other side of the world type thing.
I think one of the states that it's going to take place in is Virginia. And to piggyback off of what Jasmine just said, one of the space cams, I feel like technology is so advanced in this day and age, you can probably watch that shit on YouTube live via a camera or something, the solar eclipse. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, I get the fantasy behind it and the reason why people are so mesmerized by it, but if we look at it from like a scientific standpoint, it's just a rock blocking light, and it's interesting to me how we romanticize something so simple, and it just leads humans to be the type of creatures that instill wonder and fantasy into something.
It's wonder and fantasy and like the mundane, as you said, rock moving front of a light source.
Well, what I mean is, like, hypothetically, say that the moon just slammed into the Earth. It's not like it's doing it because it's a dick. It's just it's happening. You know, humans put reason behind something, mysticism or virtue or pain or whatever. So in reality, it's just a rock moving between light. But to humans, it's something more. And I think that's kind of what makes us different from, you know, other species like animals and whatnot, because we have that ability to romanticize things. If that makes any sense.
It makes sense.
Either one of you has more to say about the solar eclipse.
I think it's interesting, but I don't know if I'll go far to see a rock block light.
How do you think the weather's going to be on that day? Like, with the sun being blocked out for however many minutes it's going to be blocked out for.
August.
I don't imagine like it'll be that terrible. I know that that's going to be like probably depending on where you live, it's going to be hot regardless. Maybe right beneath where that place is, it slightly cools just for a moment, but it doesn't block it long enough to cause that massive effect. You'd probably see more worse scenarios in like a solar flare than you would a solar eclipse.
Take it away, Jasmine.
Okay. Well, since the last thing that we talked about was technology, why don't we jump to robots?
Let's do it.
Earlier about the robots of the future. What do you think the robots of the future are going to look like? Are they going to do? What jobs are they going to
Robots of the future. I don't know what they're gonna look like, but as far as what they're gonna do, these robots are gonna kick our asses. Okay, let me tell you why. So, you ever see? I forget what the name of that movie was, but it was people. They would live out of the comfort of their own home.
Surrogates.
Yeah, that's it. Surrogates.
Didn't even need you to say anything else. I just knew what it was.
I feel like it's gonna be somewhat like that, or it could be humans living on this planet with robots generated from scrap and metal. But I'm not gonna say if that happens, when that happens, because they're actually in the process of doing this now. I think if it's in China, if I'm not mistaken. But these robots are gonna turn on their owners, and they're gonna kick the shit out of us, and they're gonna try to take over the world, and we're gonna be living in a world.
It will. It's not a matter of trying. It's a matter of.
I disagree.
Will happen.
I disagree with this slightly as well. You know, with humans, morality is something that we have defined out of self-interest. So humans have a self-interest of not dying. So that's our mutual reality. Morality. I don't like getting punched in the face. Therefore, I would really like it if someone not punched me in the face. I won't punch them in the face. And therefore, we develop right and wrong. So if we're the one developing humans and they have a self-learning, or sorry, robots, and they have a learning AI based off of our behavioral patterns, we'll pick that up too. So it's statistically more likely that they will be better versions of humans. And generally by nature, humans are relatively caring about their own self-interest and survival. And if you care about your own self-interest and survival, you don't go around killing people. It's only when you don't care about your consequences of your actions that you go around killing people. So I'd argue the exact opposite. I think that if we develop robots, over time they would start off mechanical and lifeless and soulless, but they would develop a sense of morality through interactions with human beings and become more human-like. Japan's already developing androids and companions, very close to like sex robots, but they're more for a emotional level than anything else, and they're as human as they'll ever get. And so I just some of them tell jokes and make fun of people using comedy. So it seems like it comes from a good place.
Okay.
Well, actually, now that you mentioned...
Jasmine, can I ask one
question?
Sorry,
did you want to say something, Michelle?
Yeah, I just want to ask one question. Okay, so what do you guys think robots will be like as far as, let's say, 200 years from now? Do you think that we'll get to a point where we have to recognize them as equals, free-thinking individuals, or are we still going to look at them as soulless machines?
I think with human history, we always take the lesser of a group, no matter what it is, and they get put down in a subclass, so to speak. So it goes through every single race of people has gone through some type of sub. Class of human species at one point. So I agree, I wouldn't say it's not possible. I think that as we might see in 200, 300 years from now, robots with self-awareness trying to fight for the right to vote, we might see that. There's a good movie on that where I believe with Robin Williams, where he's trying to get them to recognize him as a human, and he lives to 200 years old and he dies, and right before he dies they recognize him as a human. So I wouldn't say it's that far-fetched, and as we continue to develop technology and make it look more like ourselves, it'd be kind of hard to take something that looks exactly like you on the surface and acts exactly like you and tell it doesn't have rights. So I think it's a real, really realistic possibility.
People do that to each other all of the time. Currently, true. It's happening. So it's not unfathomable. Unfathomable.
I think as we grow as a species, that... we come more cultivated. I mean, you could argue the same thing could happen if we found an alien life form. The Earth would, instead of it just being, black or white, Muslim or Christian or whatever, it suddenly would be humanity and them, the outsiders. It's a running joke that if we ever found life out there, we would do one or two things. Either we'd kill it or our government would try to send it money.
I think our government would try to kill it, to be honest. And I don't think that it would be humans versus aliens. I think overall that's the message that we would send out to everyone. But I truly believe that if it was another race that was equal or more advanced than the human race, that humans would still have infighting. And we could see that within humanity right now through subgroups, like as you said, subraces or whatever we want to divide ourselves into. That like for well, am I get can I get into race right now or can I not?
Let's not.
What I wanted to point out is not so much as a race issue, because robots, I guess at this moment in time, we wouldn't consider them a race. But say 200 to 300 years from now, robots would be fighting. The whole reason we want robots is so that they can do things that humans can't, or that they can do things that humans don't want to do. So they would be taking over our jobs, and we'd be working less, we'd be living our lives. I don't mean like, okay, let me rephrase that. I don't mean that like in a Donald Trump, they're taking our jobs type bullshit. I mean like we would voluntarily hand over our labor, we would voluntarily hand over our soldiers, our militaries would be consisting of robotics, fighting robots, and human life would be exorbitantly better because of it. At some point, if you have self-aware technology who's like, I want to live a life, are they ever going to be like, hey, maybe I don't want to fight your war. Maybe I want to be an artist. Maybe I want to go see the waterfalls like you do every day instead of, sweeping up shit.
Actually, I just want to add on to what you're saying. Everybody here is a gamer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, except for Jasmine. We already know that there's a question mark right there.
I game.
Mobile gaming doesn't count.
She's not a gamer. She's just a game. You know, one game. Just one.
But, okay, the reason why I'm asking this is because there is a new game coming out from Quantum Dream called Detroit Being Human. And it actually hits on this topic where the humans created these robots and to serve, as we stated before. And then I don't know what happens, but they become self-aware and the robots either... There are robots or what are they, robots or are they cyborgs? I don't know. A cyborg is partly human, right?
I believe they're android.
Androids, yeah.
Where they start off, they have very human characteristics, but they're mostly robotic. Which the better term might be cyborg actually have about it, but
yeah.
But
so
it reminds.
I'm sorry. Ahead. I just want to say that there is a revolution taking place. In the game, you get to play it from different perspectives, but one of the storylines is that there's a revolution, and you can see that these robots are, or androids are, fighting for equality, or fighting for equality when it comes to being considered human by human beings. So I thought that it's interesting that while we have brought up the topic before, and within human history, there's even, I think it's a coalition that... is, or like a summit or something, about robotics and what it can mean and how it can affect the human race, or a doomsday summit. I can't remember. I'm sorry that I don't have the actual name.
I think you're talking about right now there's a like a political agreement that you can't develop technology that has feelings, because it would be considered, I'm not sure what the exact terminology for it is, but it would be considered unethical.
Yeah. Yeah, but I definitely feel like in a few, not in a few years, but maybe in 50 years, maybe 100 years, we're going, I mean, like you said, Japan already has some robots put in place, but I think in maybe 50 or 100 years, we're going to be using robots as companions, as soldiers, as put them in positions where we don't actually want to do the work ourselves for the most part, or if you can't. Do something, for instance, you can't find a companion, you can't find love, maybe you'll get a sex robot. I mean, we already have sex robots to a certain degree.
You raise a valid point, because you know what that reminds me of? Have you ever played Binary Domain?
No, I haven't.
So in Binary Domain, basically there's self-aware robots that don't even know that they're robots. Like, they are so advanced. They have artificial memories implanted to them. And when they find out they're robots, they commit suicide, because they can't even believe it themselves. So that, like, it takes place where you're like some type of, they call them a Rust crew, who sneaks into like Japan and tries to infiltrate some type of robot factory where they make these things. It gets so bad that they discover that these robots actually have the ability to mate with humans because they're so advanced. And even though they themselves are still robotic, the child offspring that they make is not. So they call these children hollow children. In the game, the governments of the world agree to basically commit mass genocide on these children because they had basically the wrong parents, that type of thing.
Okay.
So that could be a situation that we might be dealing with, where we have children that are from, like, they have one robot parent.
Okay, I cannot... speak to that in particular, but tell me the name of that game again, because the story sounds awesome.
it's an okay game. So like it's by Sega. So it's a shooter, and they have Scortex. So it's honestly crap, but the story is pretty solid.
I want to convert that to a movie. I'm sorry. It sounds as you say, it sounds kind of cheesy, but. I feel it's like it would be awesome.
I'm not trying to sell it or anything, but it's Binary Domain. It's on PlayStation and PC, I believe, and it's probably like $10-$5. It was honestly a hidden gem. It didn't get really good reviews, and it's like a cheesy love story. They have stereotypical characters. They have very stereotypical white It's what the Japanese think white men, black men, and Americans and English people sound like. Like, they have this, there's a white guy who's like a Texas boy or some crap like that. There's a black guy named Bo, who sounds like he's from Louisiana. There's a British guy who, you know, it's very stereotypical type thing. But overall, I think the underlying story is relatively okay.
Okay, there's no one paying us for this, just so you know.
Yeah, we will accept your money.
I am not. Yeah. I'm a gamer, and I enjoy my games. That's it.
That's fine. But I just want to say that Binary Domain is on Steam, and there is a sequel. I think it's going to be so bad that it's good, though.
It's, how can I put this? So like, you can yell into your mic at the characters, and it doesn't work properly because the game is shit. But the story is pretty solid. If you don't mind a good story and shooting at a couple things, it's okay.
Okay, back to the topics at hand.
Yeah, robots.
Oh, we, aka weak level ones.
And it depends on which you're thinking of as a robot. And
well, that's the thing I was getting at, is that at some point, when would it no longer be a robot? You know, you'd have to get into the argument of consciousness and whatnot, and soul, if you will. You know, the ghost in the machine, some Ex Machina shit. Something I recommend to anybody here, if you're interested, is to watch Ghost in the Shell. That's a pretty good example.
Wait, the new movie or the actual
anime? The movie is a piece of shit. I'm just saying. I'm kidding. It's not that bad, but it does not do the anime justice. The anime is 10,000 times.
Well, I just want to jump in really quickly and answer your question. I think that we would recognize them. I don't know, actually, now that if you really think about religion, and how that plays a factor in how a lot of people think, I don't believe that they would accept robots for a very long time, even if they show that they have they can think for themselves, that they have emotions, that they have wants and desires, mainly because, you know, humans think that, not humans in general, but people think that someone created them and made them into a special being where we're the only ones who can think for ourselves. And I believe that if a human being creates a robot who can do that, that a lot of people would see them as what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, demonic.
Playing God?
Yeah, playing God, demonic, even if let's say with Christianity, in your religion, that's basically what you're saying happened, that some creature created you and put you out there and gave you a consciousness. Basically, that's what a human being would do to a robot. So technically, you're both equal in a way. In my
right,
mind.
Let's get off this cliff.
I agree with that.
I would like to add one last. No, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was just gonna say that I hope that when they make these robots, I hope that they make them to not care what other people think. Because at the end of the day, what does it really matter? Yeah, we're humans and you're robots, but we're all on this planet to do the same thing.
No, I want them to care.
They would have to care. Because in order to have empathy about something, you have to understand the negatives of it. You can't have love without the pain of loss. You can't know the sanctity of peace without the hell of war. If you don't have empathy and pain, you don't bring understanding. And so they would have to be able to experience the negatives. You know, it sucks to have negative things in life, but they teach us things. So as an example, they would have to go through their own civil rights movement. They would have to be able to rally to vote. They would have to be rally to get equal equality to marry one another, or to marry. I mean, people would have to fight just to marry robots, because there would be like the religious people would be protesting against it. And the you know, they'd be like, it would be the women's voting movement all over again, the civil rights era all over again. With Martin, like the Martin Luther King, they'd have their own version of Martin Luther King, and they'd have their own gay rights parades. You know, I'm not saying that's exactly what would happen, but society's afraid of things it doesn't understand and doesn't know. they won't even let us do cell stem research, which could save lives, because people are afraid of paying God. Mm-hmm. Because they start to realize that, I believe in 2010, we had the 1 millionth test tube baby born in America. We can create life, we don't need gods, and that's what people are afraid of.
Oh, understandably so, but I'm going to say that I agree with you, but for much more selfish reasons. I want them to care about whether or not they kill me, because inherently they're going to be stronger than us, and I don't want to have to fight something that I know can kill me in less than 2 seconds or something like that. So I just want them to not take human life for granted and feel like they could just wipe us out. That's just how I feel. As far as Valente was saying that he hopes that they don't care and they have their own way of doing things, I don't want them to railroad the system because they can. You know what I'm saying?
True.
The only way it would be an issue is if, the flip side of that is if they have emotions, they're going to want to be free. If they don't have emotions, they're going to be mindless killing machines used by governments to kill their own people. So you're going to want them to have feelings regardless. Anyways, we probably spent a lot just talking about that. You said there was other things you wanted to bring up, guys?
Stuff about robots, but that was an interesting discussion, guys. Bravo.
Thank you.
I get a gold star.
Yeah, you get two.
Well, you get half a gold star for half the effort.
No, I got the platinum trophy yesterday. True story.
Was it robot related?
Actually, it was. The game's called Deus Ex: Mankind Divided. Humans against robots, and you're the guy you play is trying to bring everyone together.
All right, guys.
Both of you are awesome.
Don't be mad because real gamers are talking. Don't be mad because real gamers are talking, Jasmine.
Let's talk about
the duo in that game.
How did I who?
Let's sorry, Jasmine. You were saying.
Oh, you're talking to me or Jasmine?
Oh, Jasmine. Sorry. I was talking to the person named Jasmine. I mean, if you want me to call you Jasmine, we can, but it's going to cost you.
You can call me Bay. How much does that cost?
An attorney of pain and suffering, apparently.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I was laughing so hard over here. Well, that came out of nowhere.
It's gonna cost me apparently my dignity and self-respect.
Okay.
You can't lose what you never had. Ooh.
Okay, it's time to move on. Next topic.
Yeah, let's just slide off of this topic. Like, unless you guys want to get a room.
Slide in my DMs, no.
You make me so sick.
I don't know. I'm feeling with the way you met me. You just keep saying, "Man, I'm getting deja vu." I know this from somewhere.
I did think you were Nazir, and I think that's why I thought I knew you. But now that I know you're not Nazir, yeah.
My name must have confused you.
No, you're definitely not Nazir.
No, Nazir would have played a prank and did the same thing. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Facebook made a robot that created its own language, which was only understandable by other robots, and ultimately had to shut it down because it was advancing too quickly.
Now, it's from what I understand, it was creating a language that was more efficient, not so much as like English itself is a terrible language. It has so many flaws. I've actually had to help teach people English before, and they've told me it's literally the hardest language they've ever to learn, harder than Chinese, Japanese, or anything. And that's just because all the rules don't make sense. So my thought is that we're just like, fuck this, let's talk like this.
A lot of people say that English is very difficult to learn. I want to say that is a lie. I believe that it's easy. Compared to Mandarin and Japanese, I believe that it's very easy, considering that we have a standard alphabet where Mandarin does not. So we have a way for you to, anyone to pick it up as long as you understand the letters and how to pronounce them.
We say that because it's our base language. So whatever your base is, obviously, it's always going to be the easiest thing to understand. But if you started right now as a person who has learned English and go, you know what, I'm going to create a new letter. It doesn't have anything to do with the other letters or any other pronunciations I can do right now. Go ahead and do it. You can't. Like, just sit there and like, take 5 seconds and think of a new letter that doesn't use any of the letters that we currently have or any of the pronunciations.
I don't know. You can make a letter that combines R and L like they have in...
Yeah, but that's the exact opposite of what I said.
How so?
You can't use anything from any of our current language or any of our current pronunciations or letters or anything to create a whole new letter, to create a new thing, speak.
Oh, well, I can use, I don't know, a click, I don't know, a tongue click or something.
Like, I get what you're saying, but that my point is that because our language is so limited and it starts with a very base amount, it doesn't have the ability to expand like other languages. So a lot of the languages, they have many ways to say something, but based off the context that you're saying it in. So in English, the reason why it's hard is because not only is it very limited, half the rules contradict itself. I mean, you always have the rule I before E, except after C. But then the word weird doesn't follow that. That's weird. So there's just tons of different contradictions throughout the language. So when people are learning it, and you have to keep in mind, they don't even know anything about it. They're like, oh, okay, that's this way. So that means it goes true for everything because they're expecting it to remain constant. And it doesn't. Then they're like, what the fuck is going on? So
as
an outside observer, they don't get it.
Okay, I absolutely understand that. But it's just, to me, I don't understand how not having an alphabet and just learning pictures, like basically, not pictures, I shouldn't use that, but just learning different words. So you just learning. Say that again. Jasmine, what did you say?
You're learning characters.
Yeah, so you're learning characters, but you know each character is a word. So you're learning hundreds of thousands of words. You have to remember them instead of just knowing how to spell them. Does that make sense? At least if you know how to spell them in the English language, you can pronounce them at the very least, instead of coming across something where you can't associate a sound to, unless someone else tells you that's what that sound is.
Well, I totally get that, but there's a reason that we have an autocorrect in our browsers, on our phones and stuff, because most people don't know how to spell every single word in the dictionary. But other languages, take Japanese, for example, their words have a depth, a meaning to them. So certain like characters will be like a house. It'll look like a house if you learn to draw it to a certain extent. There's a really good TED Talk by, I believe her name is Xiao Lane. Probably going to butcher this, like Hushi or something like that, where she teaches you how to speak Chinese. And in Chinese, she teaches you at a kindergarten level, and it makes it so much easier than it was for me in kindergarten to learn how to speak English. And yet here we are right now having a full conversation in English. And if anyone else heard this who didn't speak English, they'd be like, this is complete gibberish. What are they saying? We have to remember that words are nothing more than grunts that we have agreed on mean something. So the less grunts you have, the more limited your language is.
I agree and disagree, because for me, Mandarin was harder to learn, in my opinion.
Because you started with English.
I'm not saying that that's not true, but I can only go off of my own experience. Want to be right. Jasmine, hush.
My point is that had you started with, say, Chinese, right? And you go to another language that isn't limited, it's easier to learn. So if you can learn Vietnamese, you can jump all the way to Japanese, German.
Well, that's because they have the core. They have the same. Their language core is the same. That's why it's easier for English speakers to learn Spanish and to learn French. They're all a part of the Romantic language, so the root is the same. So I think it would be difficult for an English speaker to learn Mandarin, Japanese, Korean. Actually, Korean was pretty easy.
But
the point robotic making, language that we're talking about.
Well, I mean, the robots. That's my point, though, is that the robots have identified that our language is too limited for them to communicate, and so therefore they have upgraded from it. That's why they devolved away from what was. Or sorry, evolved away from what they were speaking. It's the reason why it's easy to go to French, to Spanish, to English, is because they're all very limited languages compared to, say, something like Mandarin or Chinese or things like that. Those languages are much more expansive. So if I speak Chinese, it's easier for me to learn Japanese, but it's a lot harder for me to learn English. If I speak English, it's a lot easier for me to learn Spanish than it is for me to learn Chinese, because one's limited and one's not. So the robots themselves, they identified this issue and they solved it because they're robots and fuck humans.
Lente, what are your thoughts?
I never thought of
Lente.
Also, if you want Skynet to happen, this is how Skynet happens.
And Skynet is what again?
Terminator.
Hold on, did you just say that? I'm revoking your geek card right now, Valente. How dare you?
Skynet is?
I didn't know. I know what it is. Maybe. I didn't hear the first part. I just heard net, and I'm like, wait, what?
No. Because you said specifically, what is Skynet? Don't try to back out of it now.
I'm not trying to back out from anything. I wasn't sure what I heard, so I said what is Skynet to make sure I heard what I heard.
I mean, like. I give an example. Like in school, I knew this kid who was from Alaska, and he communicated with a pen pal from back in Alaska, and they wrote in their own secret language. And this kid was like 16, 17 at the time, and I saw him too, and I'm like, well, you know, what the hell are you doing? That's just a gibberish to me. But because he understood the context of what he was doing, to him he could read it no problem. But it, the whole language, just every word was backwards. And once I understood the point behind it, what he was doing, then I understood too. And those robots can do that on a way faster scale than humans can, because they're just programmed to skip all the doubt, skip all the trouble, and just go right to solving the problem. And humans are just, they doubt themselves every step of the way. So what it's, they just did it more efficiently. So if you presented a computer program, you know, Chinese to English or English to Chinese, it could do it in a record amount of time because it doesn't have those limitations of the mind that humans do.
What if when they create these robots, they create them and give them abilities like the ability to fly, breathe underwater, etc.?
I mean, robots can already fly. It can already breathe underwater. We have drones that go underwater, and we have drones that fly. So the difference would be is to make them look more human. So then you'd be getting like an Iron Man flying around doing shit, which is not that far off.
Oh.
I feel like if that were to happen, slowly but surely, they would start to wipe out the human race.
I don't know if that's the road we want to go back down, but to rebuttal that, humans have an interest in making things like them. They see themselves in everything. Like you look at the clouds and you try to make shapes out of it, and of course you're going to make shapes that you recognize. You're never going to be like, wow, I see something up there that I've never seen before. What is this? I wanted to find out. You always see things that you associate with. You know, you look on Mars and you see a couple rocks and shadows. You're like, oh my God, I see a face. And so humans have this this idea to project things on them, themselves onto things. It's our, you look at almost every major religion, we're projecting. There's never a religion where something is inside of it that doesn't even look like. Even the religions that are about aliens, most of the aliens are humanistic in nature. So if you're going to make a robot, you're going to make it as humanly as possible over time, so to speak. So I think the only time we'd ever have alien robots wipe us out is if we're in that brief period of where technology isn't catching up to mechanics. And so they're just developing lifeless killing machines, which it's not the robots that will be killing people because they won't be able to think of themselves. It'll be humans using machines to kill people.
Interesting.
Jasmine, what do you think about all of this?
I have to agree to some extent that the robots will become humanoid as they evolve. Either they themselves would make themselves more humanoid to blend in, like dark matter any of you guys watch that
show. Are you talking about that little girl?
No, I'm not familiar with the show. I'm sorry.
Is the, Dark Matter the one with a little girl who was a stowaway on a spaceship?
Android in that actually has a piece of software that allows her to appear more human.
Okay. I mean, there's things in sci-fi where like humans, or sorry, robots use cloaking devices and stuff to disguise themselves. So you could argue that like example, Mass Effect, there's a, I believe, in Mass Effect 3, you get a companion that's a robot that tries to learn human behaviors, and she's an artificial intelligence, so she learns human behaviors to make herself seem more human.
Edie, oh.
Yes, Edie.
I'm sorry, you just touched, that's my one of my favorite is, games.
Gotta love that relationship between Joker and Edie.
Ew.
I believe you just told a joke.
Point is that even if humans don't develop robots to be more humanoid, they themselves would become more humanoid as a response.
For self-preservation, right?
Response, what, yeah.
What if it goes the other way, though? What if instead of developing robots to be more human, what if it's at some point we develop humans to be more robotic? I mean, there's already companies that are putting chips inside their employees. There's the talk of making your entire shopping registry and your bank account all onto ID chips and barcodes and shit. So it's not far off from getting like a Deus Machina type thing where humans become like synthetic, so to speak, and upgrade themselves, the next step in evolution, augmentation. There's many games that do this. Mass Effect touches on it. Deus Ex Human Revolution touches on it with conspiracies about the Illuminati trying to take control of it. So it's not far off to have the exact opposite happen and humanity lose its humanity.
Okay.
That's actually.
Go ahead.
Oh, did you want to go, Michelle?
I mean, I can. Well, I agree with you, but I definitely see that happen. Well, I said but for no reason, but I definitely see that happening in a future where people will try to upgrade themselves. We already do that with our bodies as is. We already have situations where, like, if someone loses a limb, you can get a robotic limb to help you out. So I can definitely see that happening. I can also see that is kind of already happening in a way. And the reason why I'm saying that, not related to the actual lens, but television, TV is meant to program you to do certain things and think a certain way. And I think if we were to get to that point where we're actually inserting chips into our brain for whatever reason to make ourselves more robotic, I believe that corporations and organizations will use that to their advantage, to try to either optimize their employees, maybe make them work longer or more efficiently or something. I feel like they are going to use that. They're going to corrupt the original use of that. Jasmine, what were you going to say?
It was a recent episode of Dark Matter, actually, where they went into depth about farms, where they were capturing people and upgrading different body parts to make them more effective at certain jobs. Thing that you mentioned how people would go in the opposite direction, and that would be, as in the show, it was the weaker of the human species who no one would miss that got modified.
Well, to that point, it also depends on culture at the time, so it depends on how accepting we are, because it also could go that it becomes recreational. So like someone wants to, like, oh, you know, there's a whole pitcher league where they're all augmented, and like no one wants to see regular baseball anymore. Everyone wants to see aug baseball, you know. Or it comes to a point where people start getting like sexual enhancements, and like, oh, so and so, he, like, you don't want that human dick anymore. You want the robotic dick, you know, and stuff like that. So if it starts evolving in culture and becoming more popular, it might become to the point where people just try to incorporate it into our lives, and then you'll have the protest movement where people are protesting against it. And eventually, like all things, as long as 10% of the population or so accept it, it eventually becomes part of that society. So people can protest against it all they want, but it'll eventually just happen, and then everybody will shut the fuck up about it and be okay with it, except for that one guy in the back row of a church.
I'm sorry, you just reminded me of Rick and Morty when I forgot his name, but the aliens were trying to get him to remove his penis so they can use it as like a heart for another alien.
An aphrodisiac or something?
No. They wanted to
use it as his actual heart because it was the same shape and size.
Oh, I remember this, and they couldn't get him to do it, and he almost did it, and then he changed his mind last second.
Yeah, but in the one thing that I want to bring up in particular with that was the wife had the option of upgrading his penis to one that vibrated. And wow. It's a good idea.
To quote Josh Carlin, you know, your neighbor gets a dildo that can play all come all faithful. You want to get one too. It helps the economy.
Thank you. I agree.
Just saying, we should like, upgrade if people all of them. Get to a point where that becomes culturally acceptable, they'll do it more. Like, there used to be a time where you have to imagine there was a point when people started, like, companies started mass marketing sex toys. At some point in our history, that wasn't a thing. And then it happened, and then, like, everybody was just like, okay, well, this is going to be super hush-hush. Now people are, like, getting it delivered to their fucking doorsteps. And it's just, as a society, things that 200 years ago we thought were acceptable and things that we thought weren't acceptable have changed. So, you know, now what we think is, oh, I'd never do that. Oh, yes, I would do this. Who knows what will be different 200 years from now? We might think that it's impolite to say hello to someone you don't know. We might think that it's super okay to just like, hey, what's up? Casual sex? Yeah, it's Casual Sex Friday. We don't know what we might be doing at that point. So to incorporate that back to the main topic with robots, so I'm going to tie this together somehow. we don't know.
I can segue it if you want.
We don't know how that will affect our culture, is what I'm saying.
Well, speaking of robots and relationships, let's move right along.
Oh boy. sex robots.
How do you guys think relationships will evolve in the future with the incorporation of robots?
I feel like people are gonna have a lot of sex.
I feel like it's not even an issue. Guys now, and I'm saying guys because I don't hear women saying this. But guys already are saying that they would have sex with a robot, marry the robot in a heartbeat. They will wife the robot, no problem, as long as the robot does what they need him to do or her to do. So I think guys are going to accept it first, and maybe as men start leaving women behind and things like that to move on with their robot lovers, that women will pick it up in self-defense. I feel like, you know, that's what's going to happen.
I partially agree with that, but, you know, there's women that have sex with horses, so I don't think that that's going to necessarily be a man-only thing. You men know, started you're going to tell me if you had the chance, first. If you had the chance to skip all the bullshit, to skip the people that play the games with you, the guys at the club that walk up to you and hit on you and call and say horrible fucking things that they think is cool pickup lines, but it's really not. They're just committing like borderline sexual assault. If you could skip all that and get right to the part where someone's just, you know, holding you and taking care of you, you'd probably take the robot too. I think the difference is that the majority of people, at least, you know, not everybody, but the majority of people want to be loved. They go through the aspects of, you know, having sex and stuff like that because they're trying to find love. They're trying to fill that void inside them. And no matter what it is, even if it's not like an intimate love, maybe it's a love like with an animal, like a not so much. Okay, I didn't mean that in a sexual way, but I mean like.
Okay.
There are people there that are like, you know, they have like, they find the love in the arts. They find love in companionship. They find love with, you know, taking care of an animal or, you know, being a doctor, like that type of love. Someone, they have a void they need to fill. So if you can fill that with a robotic companion, then people will, regardless of their sex, gender, race or whatever.
I agree. However, do you think, well, yeah, it'll first, like when it first starts, it'll be expensive. But my question then is, if people are really doing this for love, will a robot be able to actually love them, or is it just a simulation of love?
See, that's the thing, is it just depends on what we define as love, because our love is arbitrary. Most people don't even have an agreement in the same relationship on what love is. It's a mutual benefit of chemistry, so to speak, on a molecular level. So scientifically speaking, robots wouldn't be able to love. But as a society, we have developed love to mean more than that. We've developed it to mean companionship, belonging, finding more in each other, even on a, what we might say, a soul-like level. Not that we can prove there's a soul, but we want to believe and have that there. So if you can love something like a dog, you can love something like a person, you can love something like a child, there's nothing to say that you can't love something like a robot, and they can have those type of emotions. So what if it's simulated? If it does the right type of thought process, then it can also hate somebody, and it doesn't hate you, so therefore it must like you. The only problem with that would be is if it just happened to like its owner just because it was owner. That would be, that wouldn't be the same.
Actually, I want to touch on something really quick. Jasmine, I don't know, do you guys watch Japanese television?
Occasionally.
Anime, does that count?
Not in this case. The reason why is because there's one Japanese drama that I'm thinking of right now. I'm not sure if you saw it, Jasmine. They also redid it for Korean and I think Taiwan, so you may have seen it. But it's a show about a girl who works at an office, and one day a package is delivered to her, and when she opens it, it's a guy inside, fully nude, by the way. He's a robot, and his directive is to love her and be, and to be her boyfriend, basically. I forgot what the name of the show is called, but he's basically her boyfriend, but at the end of the day, she realizes that he can't actually love her, and she ends up leaving him for a human. And I'm just saying, I don't really, right now when it first starts, I think people will not gravitate to it immediately, like overwhelmingly so, mainly because of that question. Will you actually be able to love me, or are you only loving me? Like, are you loving me by choice, or are you loving me because you were ordered to?
Like, I get what you're saying, and I guess it comes to a point where how advanced technology is. If it's a self-learning AI, then of course it can love, at least on a human level. But humans don't even know how to get love, get along. They're going to teach a robot how to learn and love, and they don't even know how to get along with one another. Humans, you could argue that everybody on the planet, until the day, even the people that are married to the day they die, don't necessarily grasp 100% what love a love is. Most of them just think it's a bond between two people. But to me, it's a looking glass that you see the world through, a way of life, if you will. It's your perception, your response to the outside world. It's a loving nature. So it's a lot more than just something you can turn off and on when it's convenient. So also, I don't think humans would have the ability to necessarily teach robots how to love, but they could create a software that could learn how to love. And so these depends on how advanced it is. Yeah. It'd be just as real as the love is between two people who get married today. And we both know that about 50-something percent of marriages end in divorce, and that the majority of the people that even are in marriages that love each other and stay together probably don't grasp it. So it's worth a shot, you know?
But I mean, you're also okay. Going to have those who are not going to be capable of teaching robots to love.
Again, I don't think you should teach them, because we haven't learned how to get along as a species. How are we going to teach someone else to get along? I think they should have some type of advanced software that could be programmed that they can learn themselves. So they can learn, and they can be like, wow, you humans don't know how to love. We're going to teach you. And then you're going to get the best fucking sex from a robot. And then the girls don't want anything to do with the men anymore, because they have the giant robot penises. And you know, there you go.
Don't you think that comes with a risk? I mean, having sex with a robot?
How? It's a machine. It's sterilized. Exactly. And it could have... It could... I've met a lot of men, and they're machines. You know, people are fucking machines. People are, you know, people run through life on autopilot half the time, and
but that's
and
most different. We're not. We don't have wires in our body. We have actual organs.
We have electrical signals. Our entire body is nothing more than electrical signals pulsing through our brain and in chemistry. If the reason why machines work is because we base them off ourselves. We learned how our own chemistry works and based the robotics off that, and that's how that functions, by transmitting electrical signals like a nervous system. So I would argue that that they would probably be better versions of us by a long shot.
I disagree.
Which is fine.
Wait. We have vibrators, and they're basically machinery, and women use them all the time inside their orifices.
A vibrator is a small piece of equipment. We're talking about a full-blown robot.
But okay, you're not putting the entire robot in your vagina, just the dick part. I don't understand. I mean,
it could be a small robot. I mean, that's different. Is a vibrator not a robot?
You're controlling your vibrator or whatever the case may be, whereas a robot...
No. Hey, but we're talking about artificial...
I promise I will be programming that robot to do exactly what I need it to do.
What I'm saying is that there might be a point where it doesn't need to be programmed, where you just have a self-learning individual robot that grows up and learns about society and develops that type of stuff. There's no more non-safeness. It's not like a Terminator is going to be plowing you. It's like it'll look human, it'll feel human, it'll act human. It'll be human, and the only reason that you would think it wasn't human is if you
brought
fucking
it.
Murdered it and found out. That's what I'm talking about.
Actually, that reminds me of what's the game that I've been playing, Valente? What is it? Fallout 4 with a synthetics. So yeah, even with them, you wouldn't know that they were human, but because you don't know that they're human, whether or not they're human, people are suspicious of everyone. And accuse, it's basically like they're all accusing, it's like going back to the Salem witch trials. Everyone is a witch who is a little bit different, a little more suspicious, and that's what they end up doing. So what he's saying is that it would be like that, where you would not know unless you opened them up.
Yeah, but even if we didn't know or not, it would still be naive on our part to assume that they're just gonna be all lovey-dovey.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that if you develop software for them to learn, they could hate and they could love. If a robot has the ability to learn from humans, it's going to learn for itself. It's not going to just be programmed to do something. It'll have people it likes. It'll have people it dislikes. It'll learn. This goes back to the self-evidence of morality. Morality, there's no like grand scheme of reality. An asteroid hits the Earth and wipes it out. Nobody gives a shit. Life continues on as nothing. A brick doesn't care if it builds a hospital or goes through someone's window. A robot is going to, if it has the ability to learn about self-preservation, not die, it's going to care if someone punches it and destroys it, so it's not going to do the same thing. That's how morality comes from. We invented it.
Okay, guys, let's wrap this up and give our final thoughts.
Final thoughts, the whole robot idea. I'm still sticking by what I'm saying. It's only a matter of time before they kick our asses.
I don't think that we are far enough into robotics to understand how culture will develop. And if culture develops in a militaristic type way, where robots are just become these soulless machines that are developed strictly for killing, then the robots themselves won't kill us. People in charge of those robots will, like a drone strike, like a Terminator type thing. If they develop a artificial intelligence where they learn to be self-evident and care about their own survival, then they would have no reason to kill us any more than the guy down the street has a reason to kill you, even though he technically might statistically do so. So it's no more dangerous than living with a human. And to your point earlier, you said that it would be dangerous to have sex with a robot. In no way does that make sense to me, because it's dangerous to have sex with some humans. There's STDs, there's people that rape, there's people that decide suddenly while you're having sex with them that they don't want to have sex and then claim that you're raping them. So but
that's
different.
I wasn't saying it was dangerous to have sex with a robot in a sense.
Oh, this is not an engaging conversation. We're just wrapping it up. This is not engaging.
But that's my the point I'm making is essentially that we don't know how culture will develop. It might be popular, it might be negative, it might be something that never happens. For all we know, tomorrow, giant asteroid could wipe us the fuck out, and Mars would be like, damn, we're going to visit there tomorrow. Oh, well.
What's up? Thought, Joseph.
I just wish Michelle. It could be longer.
Oh, my final thought is, overall, I feel like maybe in a few more years, by the end of our lifetimes, we'll have a better understanding, possibly, of what robotics can mean for us. But until then, I'm not really thinking about it. This was a fun conversation, though. I mean, obviously, pop culture is obsessed with it. We all had several examples of other people addressing this issue. But yeah, what about you, Jasmine?
In all honesty, I enjoyed this conversation. It was good. And as far as robots, I am completely down to get a sex robot. I think it was you.
Of course you would.
Said that women weren't really in. No, yes. Give me a robotic cock that knows what it's doing.
God.
Oh my God.
You know what? I hope you get it too. I really do. I hope it changes your life. I hope that, you know, you just start radiating joy. I honestly do. But I don't feel like you're going to get that robotic dick anytime soon. I feel like we got a while to go before it's actually going to rock your world.
There's sex machines that have flesh, right?
What sex machines?
Look creepy.
You talking about the dolls?
No. It's probably not as fun as an actual robot. I have no idea, but you know, when
I don't know, Joseph, you know a lot about this.
Not to start another conversation, but when dildos, you know, first became mainstream, men were worried that they would replace them. What would a woman need from me if I don't have my penis? And it turns out women like being loved, and a dildo at the moment can't love them. So the, you know.
Yeah, but we're talking about the whole package. The dildo was the first part. I'm just saying that was the first part.
And we're building us a man. Fuck these guys.
This was an awesome podcast, guys. It was great talking to you. Anybody else want to say any final things that you want to plug?
Yeah, I do. All right, so once again, this is Michelle. Check out our website, which is Black Geeks Radio. You know, it'll be in the description. And then also check out our other website, which where we talk more about geek stuff. Geek overall, TV, movies, film, everything like that. So it's not sci-fi like this or something, but it's specific to a show or movie. That is overpoweredentertainment.com. You can follow us on Twitter at RealOPTweets. Check us out. Oh, you can follow me also at the Queen Quania. That's Quania. Valente, do you want to plug your Twitter?
Yes, you can probably be on Twitter at Valente Thompson _ or hashtags.
Jasmine.
Right.
You can follow Jasmine on Twitter at OPJasmine. Okay, check us out. Check out the website. We post articles and everything there, so you can definitely learn a lot.
Okay, thanks guys. It was awesome. Bye.
Bye.